Good evening, everyone. Just like to start off by saying thank you for this opportunity to come up and speak for you all tonight. I did it one time before, and I'm glad to be doing it again. But why I'm just so excited is we have Rick and Scott and the varsity lineup, and I don't even consider myself JV. I consider myself the 10th string, but still, I'm so thrilled to be up here. Let's jump right into it. Let's talk about light. What do you think of when you think of light? This greatly lighted building where you can see me in my stained suit jacket. Or you think of the sun. I like to think of the sun when I think of light. You don't need to tell me, I don't need to tell you that the sun is vital to our survival. We can't live without it. We would freeze to death if we did not have the sun. There's a lot of talk about too much sun is bad for, you know, skin cancer and all that. But scientifically speaking, it is actually unhealthy to not get a lot of sunlight. And so, just don't take my word for it. I looked up, you know what state has the highest suicide rate in all of America? Alaska. Why? Because it's dark. It's dark. The weather affects your mood. The thing is, it just affects certain people more than others. It affects me greatly. It may not affect, but you see on cartoons when someone's sad, you see a little cloud over their head. That's not just a cartoon, that's real. It affects mood. And so, when your mama tells you to go out and get some sunlight, she's doing it for your benefit. Go. With that being said, I think you can all guess where I'm going with this. What's our light? Jesus, he's our light. He keeps us alive. He shows us our path, just like a flashlight. He shows us our path. He's our example. I say light, it's an example. It's an example. What that means is Jesus is an example of how we live our lives. What he did in this book, that's what we are to live our lives by, right? So we're good. We know. What about the rest of the world? What about California? Isn't it just a wonderful state that everyone says good things about? No? Yeah. I saw on a page on Instagram of a certain someone saying that it would just be better for California to sink into the ocean. Just let it sink. That depresses me, brethren. That depresses me. So, what? Should we agree with this man? Should we just leave? Should we leave the state and just leave everyone here who are lost in the dark? Just leave. No, we shouldn't. What's our job? Our job is to help these people find Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. That would be Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Now, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It has no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under by foot of underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You know what I wish? I wish I could gather up my family and all my friends and go to a perfect little town. Everyone has white picket fences. Everyone says, "Hey there," when you pass by in the morning. There's no crime. There's nothing. I'd love to go to that place. What's the problem? That place does not exist. There's going to be problems wherever you go. And so, can you think of a better state to be in the United States for us, for Christians, to spread God's word than in California? Our place is right here. And that's what we're called to do, be lights, to show people Jesus. We've already found him. Obviously, there's a lot of people in this state who haven't. So our job is to help them find Jesus. We're to be lights to this sinful world. We're to give people something to strive towards. What's that something? That's Jesus. We found him. Now, they have to find him too. That's our job. We have our jobs, teachers, lawyers, I don't know. But this is a more important job. We're tasked with saving people's souls. There is no greater job on earth. And that's what we're called to do. We can't do that if we don't try. So that's what we're going to be talking about this evening. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. And again in Ephesians 5, 8 through 13, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So this is what we're going to be discussing this evening. What I'm talking about when I mean children of light, what that means, and what we're supposed to do. So our main passage this evening will be in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32. There we go. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, I said this before, but there's been a lot of talk about light, but what do I mean by light? In regards to us, children of light, walk in the light. What does that mean for us? It's our actions and our personality. It's what we do as an example to others. Because Jesus is our example. As Christians, Jesus is our example to live our lives by. People of the world don't know Jesus. So our job is to be their example until they find Jesus on their own. So, let's break it down a couple verses at a time. Starting in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. It's called the Christian's Walk. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. The futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Every kind of impurity. There's a lot of impurity. And the Gentiles did every kind. World doesn't look so bad. But that's giving us an example. First step, exclude ourselves from the Gentiles, the world. Walk differently. And continuing on in verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Lay aside. I think that's being taken too gently. Lay aside. Throw it out. Throw out your old self. But that just goes to show that we're all full of sin. We've all had our old past lives. We've all found Jesus in our own ways. Some of us have been raised in the church. Some of us have just come in. We're all the same. We've all tossed out our old lives just in different time periods. We're all the same. So continuing on now in verse 24, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Put on the new self. Okay, I don't need to explain that. You don't know what that means. Put on the new self. What it says right here. But what I'd like to discuss is speak truth. Key word here is speak. Well, obviously, Paul is talking about the truth of the Bible. Brethren, we cannot spread the word if we are shy. We cannot spread the word if we are introverted. We got to talk to each other. We got to talk to others. We have to speak. That's what he's saying here. And speak truth. The truth hurts sometimes. But nonetheless, it's commanded of us and we have to do it. And along with the rest of the world. So, continuing on now in 26 through 27. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Life lessons. Life lessons right there. It's okay to be angry. That's what the verse means. It's okay to be angry, just don't sin with that anger. Now, why am I saying this? Why? Because people will notice. What I mean by people will notice, if you have some anger, I do. If you have anger, if you have some flaw, some sin, and you make it known, like you are expressive, if you're angry and you start cursing, people will take notice and they will form an opinion about you. A wrong opinion. The children in the church, they will see that and they'll go, oh. People watch. And if you have the idea where, oh, I don't care what anyone thinks of me, that's not good. You should care what people think about you. You should. Because we're supposed to be an example. That's why we're called children of light, not children of moodiness, wearing our hoods over our heads and frowning all the time. That's not what we're supposed to be. Children of light, that's what we're called. And so, we always have to be aware of our surroundings, and we have to be put on a good example. Not just for our sakes, because we have to get into heaven too, but for everyone else as well. And because what I've also learned from my parents is, well, actually, I learned this from a group study with Nate and Ashley, that you may not think you're doing wrong, you don't think it affects you, but let's say you're having a beer. You're not getting drunk, but you're having a beer, and someone watches you. Do you think even a small chance that might cause one of your fellow brethren to stumble? And that's huge. That is wrong, brethren. That is wrong. And so, we have to be put on a good example. So now, continuing on in verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. What's important to take from these two verses? One, it's giving you commands. It's giving commands. You've got to work. Okay? That's for us. But why? It says, only such a word is good for edification. Why is it saying those things? So I will have something to share with one who is in need. Paul is telling the Ephesians here to give those commands because it's good for the good of everyone else as well. It's not just about us. It's not enough to follow God's word, come to church every Sunday morning, and that's it. That's not enough. We're in this world with a lot more people. It's not all about you. We have to come together and build each other up. Because it says right here, work so we'll have something to share with one who is in need. And that's what we're called to do, an example. We have to be the big brother in accordance to the world. You see all the rioters pouting. We have to be bigger than that. We have to be big brother. Be an example. We don't go out and join them or riot because they're rioting. That's not going to accomplish anything, is it? So now, in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. There. Jesus is our light. It tells us right there, for us to be lights unto the world, Jesus is the light of our world. So, now when I'm saying this, I'm not saying Jesus is not the light for everyone else. He is. He has never left anyone. He's never gone away. It's just the people don't know he's there. They haven't seen him. Or maybe they have seen him and they've just forgotten. They've lost their way. They've stumbled. That's going to happen. That's going to happen to everyone. So what's our job again? Help them find their way. Just by an example. Smile. I walk, in college, I walk every day. I don't know, maybe I'll have my music on and I'm smiling, maybe a little skip in my step. I have never yet seen anyone smile at that college. It's depressing. Why doesn't anyone smile anymore? Why does no one smile? I don't understand. But you know what inspired me is, well, I got put him on the spot here. It's my brother-in-law, Nate. He's one of my inspirations. See, I have never not seen him smile. Never. And that's what example we need to be. We have to be something that people want to be. You're smiling, you go and help someone, maybe someone drop their books, you help them up. They start talking, you be their friend. That's all it takes. And then you invite them, and then it's in their hands. That's all you have to do. It's not complicated. It's not. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe you're having a hard day, it's gonna be hard to smile. I know. It's gonna be hard. But again, we have to. It's commanded of us. This is not my words. It's right here. It's something we have to do. So, as I said, so when Paul is writing to the Ephesians, he tells them how to live their lives. He's not demanding it. He's telling them this is how you should live your life. But again, he's not just saying it for their sakes. It's for everyone's sakes as well. So, we are burdened with glorious purpose, brethren, to be shining examples to this world of darkness. It terrifies me. It's a huge responsibility that we have that I sometimes forget. I get so wrapped up in the world with exams and everything, I forget about my job. And it's a big job. And so, that's what we're called to do. So back in verse 22, it tells us to lay aside our old self, which is being corrupted. How can we do that? Well, as I stated earlier, live the way God intended and be baptized for the remission of your sins. I did a sermon not too long ago on baptism and the importance of it and why it's not an option. I also wanted to mention that we don't know when the end is going to come. It could happen tomorrow. And will you be ready? Will you be baptized? I hope so. But that's one of the steps you have to take. Our old life is our life before we were baptized, before we were free from the bonds of sin. So if you have not been baptized, you're not ready to get in the fight and be a shining light, to be a child of light. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's go over to one more verse, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. So, and goes perfectly. The heading of this is, Jesus is the light of the world. Starting in verse 12, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I am the Father who sent me. Even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself. The Father who sent me testifies about me. Even the people who don't believe him, Jesus still went there. The apostles made it their mission to go to the most dangerous places on the planet to preach God's word. And they were stoned and whipped and thrown in jail. Brethren, that's not going to happen to you in California. It's not going to happen. They might say some hurtful things. Oh no. We have to. We have to spread God's word. We have to, like I said, there's worse places in the world we can go to spread God's word. We can go to Syria. We can go to the Middle East. I don't have the money for that. So California's going to have to do. So, we stick right here, and we do what we're called to do. With that being said, if you've not been baptized, you are not yet a light of the world. And you need to be. That's it. And the steps to salvation go as follows. Here, believe, and believe with all your heart. If you don't believe with all your heart, you're second-guessing yourself. God will know. So believe with all your heart. Confess, and be baptized. And then after baptism, it's not over. Then you're in the fight, and you're making the attempt to spread God's word. Now, I know I ended a little early tonight. I'm sure that's okay with all you. So, I thought I'd offer this invitation right now. So, if you've not been baptized but desire to, you have the opportunity. Or, possibly you're struggling to find the light in your life. You're struggling to find Jesus. Or something, anything is going wrong. And you need the prayers of your brethren. For any reason, please come forward while we stand and sing.